Hey, I'd like to convene the Finance Committee. We don't have a quorum yet, but what I'd like to do is have Representative Sertich just do a quick review of the bill. And if we don't have a quorum after that, we'll go down to Representative Murphy, and she can present the bill, and we'll just lay the bill over Representative Sertich until we have a quorum once you do the review, and do the same with Representative Murphy. But hopefully we should have a quorum soon, although we do have several people, unfortunately, excused this morning, which might make it a little bit slower to get to the 21. Representative Sertich?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Back before you again, discussed this bill a little bit last week when we weren't able to come back for the rest of the hearing, but House File 2285 is dedicated funding for natural resources and cultural heritage. It's a constitutional amendment dedicating funding for the next 25 years. If you look at the bill, it provides some flexibility. I just want to first and foremost say that I'm a late convert to the idea of dedicated funding. I've never been one to want to put these issues into the Constitution. But when you look at clean water, when you look at habitat, natural resources, cultural heritage, these are areas that I believe we need a plan going forward for the next 25 years, for the next generation, for our children and grandchildren. Therefore, this bill is crafted in a way to dedicate the funding, but also provide some flexibility for the legislature to control how it's being spent. If you look at 25% to restore and preserve enhanced fish and wildlife habitat, 25% to protect and restore surface and groundwater, 15% to support the state parks and trails and also protect drinking water, 10% for cultural heritage, and another 10% that's flexible to be used for any of the above purposes. Members, I think this bill and approach builds the broadest coalition possible, not just to pass this amendment through the legislative process as it's been with us for the last 7 years, but to be passed on the ballot and get this funding to the needs of Minnesota for the next generation. So with that, members, I'm open to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and this is where we essentially were last Friday was about to start questions, and then we were butting up against sessions. So any questions of Representative Sertich at this point? Okay, well, seeing none. We're still not at a quorum, so Representative Murphy, if you would, we'll just temporarily lay the Sertich bill over pending a quorum, and then in the interest of time, we'll... Okay. We need six more. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, 1175 is the bill that will change the financing of the Duluth facility for Northwest Air Bus Mechanics facility. And the bill was originally in the bonding bill, but the bonding bill was vetoed. And so we need to pass this bill sometime this year, so that the results of the bankruptcy court's decisions to turn over the facility to the state and the state turn over the facility to the Duluth, the City of Duluth Economic Development Authority, can be done, and then the facility can be leased out to another tenant rather than Northwest Airbus Base. Peter Sausen from the department is here and can answer any questions that I can, and can probably explain it clearer than I did.
Mr. Shelton.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Peter Sausen, Minnesota Department of Finance. Just a short history lesson. In 1991, the legislature authorized the Commissioner of Finance to sell state general obligation bonds and enter into partnerships with the City of Duluth and St. Louis counties for the building of a aircraft maintenance facility at the Duluth Airport to be leased to Northwest Airlines. The bonds were sold, $47 million bonds were sold 1995. The facility was built and opened in 1997. Northwest had certain public policy covenants, including that they had to meet, including employment at the facility, which they did. However, in probably 2003, they dropped below the required number of jobs. In 2005, when the mechanics went on strike, Northwest shut down the maintenance facility. And in September of 2005, Northwest filed for bankruptcy. The City of Duluth, the Duluth Economic Development Authority, owns the facility and will be responsible for finding a new tenant for the facility. The proposed changes to the 1991 enabling legislation will make it easier for them to find a new party to operate the facility. It takes away the public policy covenants. There's a public policy covenant that the headquarters of the company be located in Minnesota. There's a good chance if you find another maintenance company, it won't be located in Minnesota. It has employment levels. It requires a hub. Good chance a new tenant won't even be an airline. It'll just be a maintenance company. They won't have a hub. It just takes away some of the problems that were put, the problems that for today that were put in for restrictions on Northwest Airlines. We think it's important, the City of Duluth thinks this is important to get this passed to make it easier for them to find a new tenant for the facility. In April 12th, about the Commissioner of Finance had a press release related to the maintenance facility. The press release indicated that the state had come to an agreement with Northwest Airlines. Well, there will be a claim filed in the bankruptcy court, and the state will, through the claim process and sale of our claims in the form of stock in the new Northwest Airlines, the value of the stock will be sufficient to pay all the outstanding bonds, about $37 million of outstanding bonds, $36 million of outstanding bonds. That is still in process. I believe the claim is going to be filed in the next couple of days with the bankruptcy court, and the Department of Finance is in the process of selling that claim. Even without this agreement with Northwest, this legislation is necessary, but assuming everything works out in with the agreement with Northwest, it's even more important now because the building will be debt-free and will be easier for the City of Duluth to lease it to a new party.
Okay, are there questions, Representative Stevenson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Murphy. I was wondering if I know that Cirrus is a big aircraft manufacturer up there. If you guys have been in negotiations at all with the potential of them expanding and going into partnership with that particular aircraft manufacturer up there.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the City of Duluth has talked to Cirrus, and Cirrus is not interested in using this facility.
And
Mr. Chair, the Duluth delegation met with Congressman Overstar in December, and Congressman Overstar is in touch with an interested party or two that he is trying to tell them that this is a wonderful place to work and this would be a wonderful place to invest in and that kind of thing. And the City of Duluth, the DITA, is reaching out to other possibilities. So we're very hopeful that this will be, especially since it will be totally in Duluth hands then, that there will be a new tenant in a relatively short time.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Sausen. Is best case scenario there's no debt left on this and everybody walks away reasonably happy. But is the state subsidizing Northwest Airlines again? I mean, we bailed them out, I think it's three times now. Are we bailing them out again?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, I don't believe we're bailing them out because the value of the $36 million needed to pay off the outstanding bonds will come out of the new Northwest Airlines. It'll be a cost to the new Northwest Airlines. They are paying it, so I don't see how it could be considered a bailout.
Mr. Chair, so we're getting $36 million in stock. is there a guaranteed sale price? Is there, do we just sell it the day we get it, or are we going to hold on to it and hope that it goes up or hope that it doesn't go down?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, the House Commissioner of Finance is working to ensure that when the claim is sold, we will get no less than the $36 million required to pay off everything. So, one of in getting into this, your question's right on to our biggest concern was that we would get the claim, it would have a value, and then in the marketplace, the value of the claim would go down and we wouldn't have enough money to pay off all the bonds. So we are trying to negotiate to sell the claim to an outside investor prior to going to bankruptcy court, contingent upon the bankruptcy court, in an amount that will be sufficient to pay off all the bonds.
Thank you.
Representative Mahoney. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. Let me follow up on Representative Mahoney's question. The financing is one thing. The second, one of the other concerns was that Northwest keep its hub here. And the way I heard you say, talk about that, that commitment was left by the wayside in this particular agreement.
Mr. Chairman, representing the Guineas, that's correct. It would take out the requirement for the hub from these agreements. But it's my understanding that MAC has that provision in their agreements with Northwest Airlines.
Representative Guineas.
The same for... The reason that MAC has that now is they had to get something new to get that agreement. Northwest is good at doing this anyway. What about the requirement to have their headquarters here?
Chairman, the amendment proposed here takes that out of the requirements for the Duluth facility. I believe MAC has that in their agreements also.
If I could follow up.
Yep, so I can ask.
And again, we had to give to get that again, so I think Representative Mahoney was right on.
Representative Garofalo.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mahoney, I think maybe an amendment you and I can work on is we can take the amount that Northwest is using to pay off this debt. Maybe we can just tie it to executive compensation or something like that. I think we'd be flush and we'd have tens of millions of dollars in surplus.
Representative Mahoney, did you look like you wanted to respond?
Funny you should say that.
Representative Houseman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If that were the case, that's in the repealer. So if are you saying the effect of that, if we just took out that one repealer, it wouldn't really change state law because we're just simply repeating it twice?
Chairman, Representative Hausman, I'll try to understand your question. MAC and their agreement with Northwest will have provisions for the hub and for the corporate headquarters. We are taking out of the provisions here. The corporate headquarters needs to come out of here because if there's a new maintenance operator going to the facility, there's a good probability that operator will not have their corporate headquarters in Minnesota. It could be anywhere. And if you have that provision in, then we're restricting a new operator to someone whose headquarters is in Minnesota.
There's some else, Minnesota.
Yes, thank you.
Are there any other questions? We will... We're one member short of a quorum, so why don't you, we'll go into a temporary recess, but I would request everyone to just remain, because as soon as someone walks in the door, we will quickly reconvene. So just visit about the weekend, I guess. Here we go. Quorum present. I'm tempted to call on Representative Mariani to approve the minutes, but Representative Murphy, I know you were here early.
I was, and I read the minutes and I move approval.
Okay, the minutes have been moved. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Sertich just stepped out, so Representative Murphy, why don't we just finish your bill?
Okay.
We'll take a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House File 1175, First Engrossment, be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any further discussion? Hearing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Representative Sertich is coming back in. Okay. Representative Sertich, we've just completed the Murphy bill, and yours is the sole remaining bill on the agenda. But there are, as you know from last Friday, several amendments that will be coming forward.
Mr.
Yeah.
Chair, then...
And if you would move the bill.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move House File 2285, First Committee Engrossment, be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Taxes.
Okay, the motion is before us. Further discussion, or we got the amendments. I'm getting ahead of myself here. The first one I have in the packet says Anderson B. is not here. The next one I have is one by Representative Hackbarth. That's A070968. Representative Hackbarth, would you like to move the amendment?
I would move the 968 amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Hackbarth, if you could explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill that we have before us, the 2285 bill, is a 3/8% tax increase. Redistributes the money to a number of different issues, arts and humanities, clean water, drinking water, habitat, a number of different things. But the bill that I've been working on for many years is 1/8% from existing sales tax revenues, and it goes to dedicated for game and fish and game and fish wild and wildlife habitat and conservation. That's what this bill has been about all along, up until this point, up until this year. This bill is about conservation habitat for wildlife. And what this amendment does is brings it back to the original intent of conservation and wildlife habitat and for game and fish, and it takes it from existing funds. 1/8, for every 1/8, it's about... well, depending on the year, I suppose, but it's approximately $80 or $90 million a year for every 1/8. And I think we can afford it. It's affordable to do. As I was taking this through the process in the last biennium, people were saying, well, how are we going to pay for it? Well, we're expected to have a surplus. No, we're not, blah, blah, blah. But we did. We ended up with a large surplus. And it was affordable, and we could have done it. And we could have had it on the ballot, and it could have been a done deal last year. So... no need to raise taxes in this. It's just 1/8% from existing funds. Puts the date out to 2010 so we can prepare for it. And I would encourage yes vote. And I'd ask for a roll call, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, roll call has been requested. Representative Sertich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I would respectfully ask you to vote against this. I believe by using new funds are what's needed for clean water, habitat, and this constitutional amendment. If we were to put this on the ballot, and if it were to get there, it still hasn't, in this forum, got to the ballot and passed both bodies. If we got it to the ballot, then the campaign against it would be vote no on the constitutional amendment because it'll cut money from our nursing homes and schools, and I don't think that's the best strategy. I think new resources are necessary, so I'd encourage a no vote.
Okay, any further discussion? The clerk will take the roll.
Carlson?
No.
Anderson? Clark? Cornish?
Aye.
Earhart, Vinstead, Ruffalo,
yes.
Breiling, Hackbarth,
aye.
Hausman,
no.
Filthy, House,
no.
Huntley, Yarrow, Junkie,
no.
Kahn, Coles, Lanchesky, Leader,
no.
Mahoney,
no.
Mariani,
no.
Murphy?
No.
Otremba? Tamar?
No.
Flowski?
No.
Pepin? Poppy?
No.
Rukavina? Sailor?
No.
Seifert?
Aye.
Sertich?
No.
Severson?
Yes.
Simon?
No.
Slavik? Solberg?
No.
Swigum? Thiessen?
No.
Boginia?
No.
Walker? Westrom?
There being 17 no's and 5 yeses, motion is defeated. We have another amendment here. It's A070970. It removes the tax increase and dedicates 1/8 of the existing sales tax.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw that amendment.
Okay, that amendment withdrawn. I assume most of these are yours from our discussion last Friday. They don't necessarily have a name on them, but AH2285A12, is that one yours as well, Representative Hackbright? Increases the percentage of receipts.
Changes. The 1-2 amendment?
Yeah.
I don't believe that one's mine, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Oh, this was one, Representative Hackbarth, that was, I'm just told, redrafted because the page numbers were not correct on the first one.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman, which one that was originally.
Okay, that one. Will...
How about the 971?
971. Okay, that one is yours?
Yep.
Okay, Representative Hackbarth moves A070971. Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This particular amendment keeps the bill, you know, pretty much the same as it is. It's a 3/8 to 1% tax increase, but it removes the arts, and there's a 10% on the bottom line that's going to be flexible within the bill, and it takes that out, and it redistributes the arts money and the 10% flexible money, and puts it into clean water and habitat. Leaves it 3/8 to 1% tax increase. Everything stays the same, except for the fact that it takes out the arts, the cultural part, and the 10% on the bottom line, and redistributes it. And I would encourage you, yes, vote.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Church.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd respectfully ask members to vote against the amendment. I believe having the broadest coalition helps pass this on the ballot, and removing the cultural piece would disrupt that coalition. Secondly, I believe the flexible funding is what makes it interesting and palatable to many legislators who are concerned about dedicating strict dedication of funds. And having that 10% flexibility, like I said before, this goes for basically a generation of dedication. But within the next 25 years, we may see different reasons to move 10% of the money around, and this would keep it flexible enough for us to do so.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion defeated. Representative Hackbarth.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I had an A9 amendment, and maybe, I'm not sure. Mark?
Okay, that was redrafted as well to fit the bill. Is that your... there's one that separates the arts and out-of-doors. That's a Cornish. Okay. Yeah, the A13 is a Cornish amendment. While you're digging through yours, Representative Hackbarth, Representative Cornish, this was one that was redrafted as well. This separates the arts and out-of-doors questions.
A13?
It's the A13.
Here, I'd move the A13 amendment.
Okay, the amendment has been moved. Representative Cornish.
So it's on the separate question. And what we always wanted to do, is in this one, are separate from two ballot questions? The
since it's been redrafted.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. It's just the line numbers that are different. So the thrust of the amendment is exactly the same, where you would have two questions on the ballot, as I understand it. We had to draft them to fit the bill.
You can probably tell I'm getting tired of this discussion. I feel like not even offering any amendments that I know which way it's going. And we've lost the drive here to separate the two questions and for the basic tax. I'll offer the amendment knowing that it's going to go down. It's just the issue of some frustration about the whole idea about not having two questions, having one instead, everything combobulated together. We wish it was original intent. We wish it was out of the existing text. Naturally, we have the fear that if you put them both together, that it's going to die, and I hope that you don't have to say I told you so. But with that brief explanation, I'll offer the amendment for whatever good it does, more or less to make a point. Thank you.
Okay, the motion is before us, Representative Sturgeon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'd ask for a no vote. Having multiple questions dealing with the same subject, I believe, does more to add confusion to the ballot. The simplicity of having one question and having a broad coalition working and investing resources on making sure one question passes is, I believe, better.
Mr.
Chairman?
Okay, Representative Hackbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was, when we were trying to negotiate this bill last year, this issue was brought up to separate the two questions. We couldn't get that done in the conference committee last year. I thought that was a good idea to try to do that. That was part of the negotiations. I think a lot of people prefer this. I mean, they can understand maybe voting for dedicated funding in the Constitution for the Arts, and then understand dedicated funding for habitat and wildlife conservation. I think that's more understandable. I think that's more palatable. I think people can understand that when they go to the ballot box and decide on these two questions. I think it makes much, much more sense to put the two separate questions on the ballot rather than lumping non-like issues together on one question. So I would encourage you, yes, vote and ask for a roll call.
Okay, your roll call has been requested. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then the clerk will take the roll.
Carlton?
No.
Anderson? Clark? Cornish?
Aye.
Gerhart?
No.
Finstead? Garofalo?
Yes.
Reiling? Hackbar?
Aye.
Hausman?
No.
Lukey?
No.
Howes?
No.
Huntley? Yarros? Junkie?
No.
Hahn? Cole? Linshefsky? Leader?
No.
Mahoney?
No.
Mariani?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Otremba? Tamar?
That's Sting.
Plowski?
No.
Pepin? Poppy?
No.
Rukavina? Sailor?
No.
Seifert?
Yes.
Sertich?
No.
Severson?
Yes.
Simon?
No.
Slawick? Solberg?
No.
Wiggum?
Yes.
Thiessen?
No.
Wagenia?
No.
Walker? Westrom?
Okay, being 18 no's and 6 yeses, the amendment is defeated. Representative Hackbarth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I figured out what I've got going on here now. The A-12 was redrafted. It was my original A-9, and I will move the A-12 amendment.
Okay. The amendment has been moved. Representative Hackbarth, will you explain the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, what this does, it keeps the bill exactly the same again. It's 3/8 of 1% sales tax increase. Leaves the arts and the 10% on the bottom line, but what is in this bill, members, is not even 1/8 of 1% for wildlife and conservation habitat. When they put the 3/8 of 1% sales tax on and then redistribute it by percentages, they don't even give a proper 1/8 to game, fish, and wildlife habitat and conservation. So what this amendment does, it leaves the arts in that alone, but redistributes the other money, the drinking water, the clean water, and gives a full 1/8 of 1% to conservation and wildlife habitat, and I would encourage a yes vote.
Okay, the motion is before us. Concerning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd encourage a no vote. I believe the balance of the bill is important, but also we have to remember the 10%, fish and wildlife habitat could receive the additional 10% if the legislature deemed it so. in the future. So I'd encourage a no vote.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none.
Roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested. Clerk, take the roll.
Carlson?
No.
Anderson? Clark? Cornish?
Aye.
Earhart?
No.
Vincent? Crofflow?
Yes.
Greiling? Hackbarth?
Aye.
Hausman?
No.
Hilty?
No.
Haus?
Yes.
Huntley? Yaros? Junkie?
No.
Hahn? Cole? Mancheski? Leader?
No.
Mahoney?
No.
Sirianni?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Otrimba? Tamar?
No.
Kowalski?
No.
Steppen? Poppy?
No.
Rukavina? Sailor?
No.
Seifert?
Aye.
Sertage?
No.
Severson?
Yes.
Simon?
No.
Slawick? Solberg?
No.
Swigum?
Yes.
Thiessen?
No.
Boginia?
No.
Walker? Westrom?
It'd be 19 no's and 7 yeses. Motion defeated. We now have H2285A14, and I have Representative Swigum's name on it. Representative Swigum, would you care to move the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could, Mr. Chairman, the amendment, A14 amendment, is one that is trying to go in the bit of a move of a cooperation, a compromise, trying to identify the original intent of the bill, and also make the bill one that, at least in my estimation, in the estimation of many, would be a, quote, clean bill that has a good chance of passing the citizens of Minnesota, so we actually get something done and something passed. Members, the I'm concerned about the 3/8 sales tax as being a large, too much when added to the other sales tax burdens that we have. I'm concerned about the expansion of where the funds will be going to, the broadening of the funds, as I think the weight of the bill will bring its downfall rather than its passage. Members, the amendment simply replaces the 3/8 increase of sales tax with a 1/8 increase of sales tax. 1/8 increase of sales tax split evenly between wildlife habitat and natural resources and clean water, the Clean Water Fund. Trying to get to the environmental aspect of the bill, putting one in a prudent way that I think is a cooperation without all the additional add-ons that have come to this bill as it's been built throughout the years. Mr. Chairman, I think it's the original intent and the cooperative compromise that would go to help in its passage amongst the citizens, and we could actually move ahead with supporting our environment and our habitat with a little additional push. Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd ask for a roll call vote.
Okay, roll call vote has been requested. Representative Surridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I would encourage a no vote on this. I believe the broad coalition is what's necessary to get the word out and make sure that this gets on the ballot. When we talk about original intent of previous bills, those are bills that did not make it through the legislative process and onto the ballot. I believe this is the bill that will get that done and get it passed.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then the clerk will take the roll.
Carlson?
No.
Anderson? Clark? Cornish?
Aye.
Earhart?
No.
Vinstead? Crofflow?
Yes.
Kryling? Hackbart?
Aye.
Hausman?
No.
Silky?
No.
Haus?
No.
Huntley? Yarrows? Junkie?
No.
Hahn? Cole? Lynchewski? Leader?
No.
Mahoney?
No.
Sirianni?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Otrimba? Tamar?
No.
Kowalski?
No.
Peppin? Poppy?
No.
Rukavina? Sailor?
No.
Seifert?
Yes.
Sertage?
No.
Severson?
Yes.
Simon?
No.
Bobbitt?
No.
Solberg?
No.
Grigham?
Yes.
Thiessen?
No.
Wagenius?
No.
Walker? Westrom?
Being 20 no's and and 6 yes, motion is defeated. We now have A070972 by Representative Seifert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the amendment.
The amendment has been moved.
Mr. Chairman, this is a simple amendment. It just adds the words on the ballot question at the bottom, just like a school referendum. By voting yes on this question, you are voting for a tax increase. And in talking with some of the Democrats in the legislature, I think a lot of them know that when you have a ballot question for building a school or for raising money for schools, people are given a very crystal clear choice on the ballot in regard to whether they're for a tax increase or not. We have this argument about people knowingly or not knowingly voting for a tax increase. This is a 6 or 7 line run-on sentence here with various semicolons inserted in here on the ballot question. And if it's good enough for our schools to be held to this requirement, I would think that it would be good enough for the legislature to also abide by this requirement. Our local school boards put their ballot questions forward to the voters, and it's a very crystal clear argument that they know exactly what they're doing. This is a long question. You don't get to the increasing sales and use tax rate until the last part of it. And I think if this is good enough for our schools, if it's good enough for our school boards, it should be good enough for the legislature, and we should have to inform our citizens in the crystal clear manner that our citizens are informed on the ballot when they have a school referendum. And people know what they're doing in terms of making sure that they know that they are voting for a tax increase, that they're voting yes on this question. I don't really see it as controversial. I don't think a school board see it as controversial when they put it on the ballot for building a school or for asking for an excess levy. So I would ask members support on this just for a good policy measure, and I'd ask for roll call.
Okay, roll call has been requested. Representative Sertich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'd ask you to vote no. This language seems very redundant. If you look on page 2, line 17, within the proposed amendment, it says increasing the sales tax. So I believe and trust the voters are smart enough to know that when they read the sentence increasing the sales tax, that the tax would be increasing.
Representative Mahoney? Oh, I thought I saw your hand up. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then the clerk will take the roll.
Carlson?
No.
Anderson? Clark? Cornish?
Aye.
Gerhart?
Yes.
Dinsett? Ruffalo?
Yes.
Greiling? Hackbar?
Aye.
Hausman?
No.
Dilkey?
No.
House? Huntley? Yarrows? Junkie?
No.
Kahn? Cole? Lynchewski? Leader?
No.
Mahoney?
No.
Mariani?
No.
Murphy?
No.
Otrimba? Paymar?
No.
Slowski?
No.
Pepin? Poppy?
Yes.
Rukavina? Saylor? Seifert?
Yes.
Sertich?
No.
Severson?
Yes.
Simon?
No.
Plavik?
No.
Solberg?
No.
Swigum?
Yes.
Thiessen?
No.
Bohemia?
No.
Walker? Weston?
Being 17 no's and 8 yes's, motion is defeated. I do have the amendment that I mentioned first that had Representative Anderson's name on it. He's not here. I don't know if he was offering that on behalf of his caucus or... it's one that it seems that on the face of it here quite close to what we've had before, but I'm told it's slightly different. It's a delete all. It dedicates 0.25% of existing sales tax to Natural Resources Fund and Environmental Fund for Clean Water Legacy. It's a strike everything.
Yeah.
Mr. D. Chair, or the minority leader, would you like to move it?
Mr. Chair, I can move it on his behalf. He has a medical appointment this morning, and so I'll offer it for him. I don't know a whole lot about it other than, I can look around and see that this committee is overwhelmingly stacked, not in favor of doing any amendments, so being a marsupial committee, I think I'll just move the amendment and ask members to support it.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Representative Hancock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And a little further explanation of the amendment. It's 1/4 of 1% from existing funds.
The kangaroo call.
And it's for clean water and habitat. But it's 1/4 of 1% from existing funds, dividing it equally. Much like Representative Swiggum's amendment, which was 1/8 of 1%, dividing it equally, on his with the tax increase, this is from existing funds.
Okay, and Representative Surge.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd encourage a no vote. We had the discussion about existing versus new money before, and I believe new resources are important for this.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion defeated. Representative Sertich renews his motion and that House File 2285, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Taxes. Any further discussion? Representative Hackbar.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I had one more oral amendment. And looking through the bill, you'll see that administration fees are allowed to be 3%. And I think that's quite high on a bill that's going to raise about $240 million. I think LCCMR is somewhere around that range, but they're dealing with about $23 million. So I think that's excessively high, and I would move to change that 3% to 1.5%.
The motion is before us.
I'd like a roll call vote on that.
Yeah, roll call has been requested. We need the page and line.
I think it's page 3, line 1. And what would do is delete 97 and install insert 98.5.
98.5, and Representative Seifert says also you'll need to change it on line 12.
Yeah, line 1, line 12.
Okay, the motion is before us. A roll call has been requested. Representative Sertich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We had discussion in a few committees about this, and I've committed to working through to find out what the appropriate percent is. It seems arbitrary at this point right now to just change it to 1.5, but would definitely, if we can continue to talk about this down the road, I'd be willing to look at a different option. But at this point, I'd encourage a no vote.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then the clerk will take the roll.
Carlson.
No.
Anderson. Clark. Cornish.
Aye.
Earhart.
No.
Finstead. Goffel.
Yes.
Greiling. Hackbarth.
Aye.
Hausman.
No.
Dilkey.
No.
House.
No.
Huntley. Yaros. Donkey.
Aye.
Kahn. Cole. Franceschi. Leader.
No.
Mahoney.
No.
Mariani.
Abstain.
Murphy.
No.
Otremba. Tamar.
No.
Wolski.
Yes.
Steppen.
Yes.
Poppy.
Yes.
Rukavina. Taylor.
No.
Seifert.
Yes.
Sertich.
No.
Severson.
Yes.
Simon.
No.
Slavik.
No.
Solbert.
No.
Swiggum.
Yes.
Keeson.
No.
Puginius.
No.
Walker. Western.
Okay, being 16 no's and 9 yeses, motion is defeated. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is for the bill, correct?
I've got no further amendments.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Majority Leader, on Section 12 of the bill, there's language regarding the motor vehicle sales tax. I'm wondering if you could help clarify for me the increased tax in the vehicle sales tax. Oh, it's not the motor vehicle sales tax, it's the motor vehicle excise tax. Or maybe you could clarify. On section 12 of the bill, we have a constitutional amendment right now that has 100% of the motor vehicle sales tax go to roads and transit, but this looks like it puts a tax on it. I'm kind of thinking through this and trying to figure out if we're going to need a constitutional convention if this thing passes or where that money would go. Mr. George?
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, actually, this language makes sure that this does not apply to the motor vehicle sales tax. And that's why this language is in here.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Majority Leader, I'm reading the section includes a 3/8 of 1% if passed by the voters to be added to the excise tax on purchase of motor vehicle. I'm reading the House research summary. It looks like it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, the intent was to actually make sure it was did not apply.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just looking at this. There is imposed an excise tax at the rate provided in section blah, blah, blah on the purchase price of any motor vehicle purchased or acquired. So if that's the intent, Mr. Majority Leader, I guess, would you be opposed to me moving an amendment to delete that section from the bill?
Staff is checking on the statute to see. Maybe while they're checking, Representative Powell, you had your hand up. We'll revert back to you, Representative Garofalo, after the staff checks on your questions.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Sertich, when this goes to a conference committee, will you hold the House position?
Representative Sertich.
Mr. Chair, Representative Howes, I will do my best to hold the House position. I believe strongly in this bill and the flexibility it provides, at the same time dedicated the funding to these areas, so I will do my best to hold the House position.
Thank you.
Representative Stegman.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, members, and Majority Leader Sertich. I'd like to see a constitutional amendment for natural resources passed. Yes, we've struggled over past years to find that right wordage, that right combination to allow it to get past the legislature. There's been various reasons for it, some of them political. In fact, maybe most of them political. I'm afraid that the amendment you have before us right now, the constitutional amendment, that will not pass the citizens of Minnesota, Representative Sertich. I sincerely mean that. I think the total weight of this bill will bring its downfall. The total weight in regards to the size of the increase, the 3/8 of a percent, the total weight as far as the number of issues that are trying to be supported, broadened. You talk about broadening the base by including more groups or interest groups. I think it will lead to its defeat rather than its passage. Members, I just want you to look at what a citizen of Minneapolis is going to look at. Is that they have the 6.5% sales tax. They have an additional 0.5% temporary sales tax of, what was it, 91 or 92, the lodging sales tax, the 0.015, the 3 cents on $20 bill for the baseball park. Now we have a bill coming forward for a 0.5-cent transportation sales tax that will probably be on the ballot or at least pass before them, and another 3/8 on top of that. The citizens are not going to support that weight, that size of an additional sales tax increase. And I think that the broadening of the interest, Representative Sertich, and I have friends who are obviously in those groups, it really, really goes away from the intent of natural resources. It goes away from the intent of what this is for and is supposed to be for. And, you know, I see people that have added on their interest along the way, and I think it's just wrong. Maybe we should split the amendment, as Representative Hackbarth tried to do, but this is going to have a great, difficult time amongst the citizens. It may get by the politicians, but the politicians may have other reasons than what the citizens are going to decide a year and a half from now.
Representative Halsman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I think
I'm particularly believing that the raising up that issue of sustainable drinking water and talking specifically about protecting the safe drinking water sources has become crystal clear to us. If you have been tracking in the last week in the press, the understanding of the public of that as an absolute, almost top priority in its view of how of our responsibility. And so I believe that this addition is going to be a powerful message to the public as they look at this question.
Okay, Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Swigum stated how he thought the citizens in my district would vote and vote against this. And I just want to say that I think to the contrary. I think this is exactly the kind of thing that citizens in my district will vote for. And I just want to also say that I represent a district that's one of the highest voting districts in the state. So it is not a low turnout district by any means. It's extremely high. And these are the interests that will be very appealing, and the balance will be very appealing.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really think that there's something that goes beyond the fact that we're putting this thing about, and that is we live in a representative democracy, and every one of you has given up another piece of the action that you are supposed to be here doing, and that is looking at the needs of this state and then voting the taxes or whatever is necessary to solve the problem. And that's ridiculous. Every one of you ought to be ashamed of yourself for allowing initiative and referendum, which we do not have in this state. You're supposed to be here representing the people. You can vote either way you care to on the issue if you feel that way. But to give this up just to to solve a political problem or whatever, I think is wrong. I'm going to be voting no.
And Representative Paymar?
Mr. Chair, I don't know how the voters are going to vote on this, but I absolutely agree with Representative Earhart. I think we're just absolutely abdicating our responsibility as the state legislature. I mean, if I felt I had the votes, I'd have an amendment here to dedicate 10% of this to early childhood education. I think it's a huge, important investment in the future of the state of Minnesota. I think this is bad precedent. Amending the Constitution, whether art should be in here or not, is irrelevant to me. I just think this is bad public policy. And in a few years, we'll be seeing other special interests coming before the legislature and say you did it in 2007 and do it today. Our needs are just as great. I'm going to also be voting no.
Great. Ms. Novak, have you got an answer to the question on the sales tax on automobiles? And if it's still not clear, we're down to the last week, and it's a question that we could clarify in taxes. It'll be up in taxes very soon, as I understand it. But let's see where we're at this point, and then maybe we can address it there. Ms. Novak?
Mr. Chair and members, the Section 12 narrows the citation from the entire Chapter 297A to the rate section in 297A.62, Subdivision 1. So in that respect, I don't think it has any effect on current law. However, the citation is wrong. There is no paragraph A in 297A.62, Subdivision 1, so at some point that needs to be fixed.
Do you represent, sir?
Mr. Chair, we'll, as you say, we're going to taxes soon, and I'll check this out and make sure, but the intent certainly is to, I know that money was dedicated in the last constitutional amendment, at least to address that was the reason this was in here, but I'll certainly tighten it up between now and then.
Okay, and I think if the committee is comfortable that we'll take care of that in taxes, then just understand that's a goal. We've got several that want to comment. Representative Hackbart.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Well, Representative Earhart brings up some very good points, and Representative Tamar, I will be voting no, too. But a little bit different, for a different reason. This issue was brought before us many years ago by Senator Lessard, and it was because one eighth of 1% of the conservation wildlife habitat. It was because that you see a decline in legislative funding in those particular areas. And it's been on a downward trend ever since. And previously. So it's hard for the legislature when you're trying to deal with K-12 education and early childhood education and all those other issues, of course, many of those things are a top priority. And legislatively, we do fund those things legislatively, and they should be. But this carves out a particular area that is critical to the state of Minnesota for wildlife habitat and our environment. And that's what this intent was always about. I don't think that there's a cultural heritage emergency like there is in habitat and conservation. So for that reason, that's why the bill was here originally. Mm-hmm. That's why we wanted a constitutional amendment to make sure that we had stable funding there for that issue. All these other issues, I think you've seen that we funded clean water. We spent hundreds of millions of dollars in our budget every year on clean water. Not just the new clean water initiatives that have been brought forward, but if you look at the budget, we spent hundreds of millions of dollars on water. So with that, members, I don't know what more to say. I mean, we offered some decent amendments here to try to make this bill better, and I would encourage a no vote.
Okay, Representative Cornish.
Representative Curtis, I'm going to be voting no today because I guess I want to be one of the few that didn't give up on trying to change it. Before Dennis Anderson and Al Darnley starts seeing people that vote no, I just want to go on record and say why, and it's because I issued this question to my voters, and it was basically out of the existing tax way back when this thing first started out, and it just said game and fish, and I put it out in a whole mess of newspapers, and I had to cut the ballot in and send it in, and it failed even then, just by a couple percentages. So I thought, well, if I added on another new tax and arts and cultural heritage and all these other things, it would really go down. So I'm worried about it in that extent, and I'm kind of disappointed that the outdoor groups just gave up. And I don't know what else you could add on, and they still would have taken the bait. Out of probably in their defense frustration because they wanted something. So you could have probably added everything in the kitchen sink, and they still would have taken it because the 150 people want something for their cause. So that kind of worries me. And put it in conservation terms, you had a beautiful trout when you started out, and several lamprey have attached themselves to it now and are sucking the life out of it. And I hope it doesn't die on the way to the dinner table. And so I'm hoping it passes, but I've got really worried for it. And these people are probably going to be mad when they compare them to lamprey, but I'm mad. I'm mad because we started out with game and fish, and when people think of Minnesota, they think game and fish and tourism, billion-dollar industry, and now we've turned parts of our budget that should have been taken care of by other means into some bait to get people to vote for the game and fish, and it just disappoints me. But I hope you're successful overall, and I don't know how I'm going to vote when it hits the floor, but I'm just going to keep chipping away and try to get it back to its original intent, and if I fail, at least I go down trying. So thanks for your efforts anyway.
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chairman and members, I want to revise what I just said. The section of 297A, Chapter 297A, that deals with race is actually amended in this bill. It's Section 10. Of the bill that's on page 5. And on page 6 of the bill, it clarifies that the rate increase is added to the motor vehicle excise tax. So
And so what we'll do, members, Representative Thurditch will address that question in the Tax Committee where it will be re-referred. Representative Steifert.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think I'm going to pass. I have to get to the Browns Valley Conference Committee, and I hate to leave our good friends in the Senate waiting too long.
There's two of us here that
no hurry.
Have that as a goal.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, you're on that committee,
too.
No
hurry, Mr.
Chair. Thank you. Mr. Chairman and Mr. Majority Leader, I apologize if I'm being a little bit overly parochial on this, but having spent the greater part of 2 years getting the snot kicked out of me for helping getting that thing on the ballot, I tend to be a little bit protective of it.
Yeah.
Mr. Majority Leader, I want to have your promise, your absolute guarantee, that before this goes to the floor, there will be no increase in the motor vehicle sales tax as part of this bill.
Mr. Chair, Chris, I'm grateful. That is my intent to take it out in the Tax Committee.
Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion by Representative Sertich then that the bill, House File 2285, the first committee engrossment be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Taxes? All those?
Roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call has been requested. Clerk will take the roll.
Carlson?
Aye.
Anderson? Clark?
Yes.
Cornish?
No.
Earhart?
No.
Finstead? Groffalo?
No.
Riley? Sackbar?
No.
Hausman?
Yes.
Hilty?
Yes.
Howes?
Yes.
Huntley? Yaros? Junkie?
Aye.
Kahn? Coles? Leader?
Yes.
Mahoney?
Aye.
Mariani? Murphy?
No.
Wotremba? Tamar?
No.
Wlowski?
Yes.
Pepin? Poppy?
Yes.
Lukavina? Sailor?
Yes.
Seifert?
No.
Sertich?
Yes.
Severson?
No.
Simon?
Yes.
Lawitz?
Yes.
Solberg?
Yes.
Swigum? Keeson?
Yes.
Wavinia?
Yes.
Walker? Westrom?
No.
Kahn?
Are you sure?
Okay, being 17 yeses and 9 noes, the motion prevails. With that, the meeting is adjourned.